scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible.
I appreciate the confidence that the leadership in this congregation has to allow me to stand in this pulpit. And I appreciate being here and being able to share with you some things concerning God's will.
Willis, I don't think you're turned on.
The green light is on. Okay. They didn't tell me. Nobody told me there were two buttons. I'm a one button man, so you gotta tell me. Let me also say that I appreciate very much Larry, who stands in this pulpit from Sunday to Sunday. And I've known Larry for some time. I've been with him in preachers' meetings. I've lately been able to listen to some of his classes and some of his sermons, and I appreciate him very much. And he is a very scriptural preacher and teacher, and I appreciate that. Just one thing I want to warn you about Larry. Don't stand behind his pickup truck. We just celebrated a Declaration of Independence, or sometimes what we just refer to as the 4th of July. We celebrated it in one way or another. I know there were some in my neighborhood who were still celebrating at 2 and 3 o'clock this morning, popping firecrackers and setting off Roman candles and so forth, but that didn't bother me all that much. I slept right through it. It was a great day in our nation's history when these 56 men signed that document that freed us from England and allowed us to pursue the freedom to build a great society. I know it wasn't that simple. There was a war that took place after that, of course, but that was the beginning of it. And most of those men paid a tremendous price for the commitment that they made in signing that document. Many of them lost their lives in the following war that took place. Many of them lost their families and every bit of property that they had, and some of them died in poverty because they signed that document. And most of them were professional men, wealthy landowners, and leaders in their part of the country where they live. And they suffered greatly for that. And we today are still reaping the benefits of their courage and sacrifice in the country that we live in. Unfortunately today, there are many national leaders who are trying to change and to destroy and really desecrate what these great men started and others built upon. But that's a lesson for another time. I'd like to talk about, actually, I've written more than a dozen sermons, probably, and this is the only one I've ever written about myself. So I won't hope you don't think I'm egotistical when I do this, because I didn't write it for my benefit, I wrote it for your benefit. Beginning with my conversion to Christ, I also signed a Declaration of Independence. Now, I don't mean that I put my name on a document of any kind, but I did sign one mentally. And I've signed several more along the way. I've not suffered as a result of that, but I've been greatly blessed with family and friends and brethren and the church and the hope of salvation. I am blessed because Jesus suffered in my place. Therefore, I didn't have to suffer in that sense. And he suffered for you also, because in 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." And excuse me. And again in verse 24 it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." I also, at the same time, signed a declaration of dependence, mentally, of course. So in this lesson, I want to talk about a declaration of independence, but I want to also talk about a declaration of dependence. And that's the reason I use this scripture reading, because Paul talks about him being free from all men, and yet he said, "I made myself a slave that I might win the more." And so I believe that most of you have done the same thing, and whenever we get to the end of this lesson, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. If you have not, then you should have. And if you have not, you will have an opportunity to do so at the end of this lesson today. So the first thing I want to do this morning is talk about the declaration of independence. When I became a Christian, I declared independence from denominational creeds and doctrines and from denominational thinking. I decided to depend only on the Bible for what I would practice in my life and what I would teach others that they should practice in their life. I decided that because I believed that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Therefore, I have confidence in it that I can depend upon what it says because it came from God. 2 Peter 1, in verse 20, says, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." And secondly, I believe it furnishes me with everything I need to live for God here on this earth, and everything I need to do to teach others how they can live for God here on this earth. Paul, whenever he wrote to Timothy in his second letter to this young evangelist, said in 2 Timothy 3:15, "From childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So he said he was raised by a Jewish mother, had a Greek father, he was raised by a Jewish mother, and he said, "You know the scriptures, they give you the wisdom that you can have salvation through Jesus Christ." And then he goes on to say, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Everything we need to live and be and do in this world in a spiritual sense is given to us by the scriptures. And I also declared independence from denominational thinking whenever I read about Jesus and Paul and others and what they taught about unity. You know, and the reason I did that was because denomination means division. I mean, that's the meaning of the word. Jesus prayed for unity when he was praying for his apostles just before he was taken to the cross. In John 17:20, he said, "I do not ask in behalf of these alone," or just for these apostles that I'm praying for, "but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." The divided state of Christendom has always been a hindrance to the bringing of people to Christ in a biblical sense. Not only that, Paul pleaded for unity whenever he wrote to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 1:10, he said, "I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, that there be no divisions among you, that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." And then also the Bible gives a plan for unity. And I believe the Sunday morning class here in the auditorium has been studying this section of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6, which talks about being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he said, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." The prime number here being one. I declared myself to be free from denominational thinking in a lot of other ways, too. I just wanted to give these two as an example. I also declared myself free from the premillennial doctrines that I hear taught so much, because they're all based on the failure of Jesus to do what he came to this earth to do whenever he came to this earth in the first century. And I became independent of man-made plans for salvation. Things like saying the sinner's prayer and then believing that I'm saved by faith only, because the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible and faith only is not taught by the Scriptures. And I gave up the concept of reading doctrine into the Bible rather than reading the doctrine out of the Bible. Now, if you start with your own ideas and you just want to look up Scriptures to prove them rather than to seek and understand what the Bible teaches you, you will seldom end up with the truth in your searching and in your teaching. I've also made a declaration of independence from binders and loosers, sometimes called the church police, concerning what I practice and teach. I don't mean that I refuse to listen to good counsel and teaching. Only a fool rejects that. At least that's what the proverb letter said. In Proverbs 12:15, he said, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." So we should listen to counsel, and especially to those who are counseling us about what the Scriptures have to say. But I'm talking about, well, let me just say that I prefer the binding and loosing that comes from heaven. When Jesus established his church on the foundation of Peter's confession, told about in Matthew 16, 15 and 16, he said that all the authority was to come from heaven. In Matthew 16, 15, he was saying to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And he said, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, some people think that's Peter, of course, but Peter is masculine, and the word rock there is feminine, so it couldn't be on Peter. So it has to be on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the only one ever qualified or ever will be qualified to establish a church on the face of this earth. Amen. And then he goes on to say, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, Peter used those keys to open the door of the kingdom on Pentecost Day, about 33 AD. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes here. And he went on to say, "Whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven." In other words, what you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. That's future perfect in the Greek. "And whatever you shall loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven." Shall have been loosed in heaven. Peter and the other apostles were commanded then to abide and loose nothing on earth that had not already been bound and loosed in heaven. The authority comes from heaven. It is not within the scope of this lesson to teach hermeneutics or the science of how to study the Bible, but there are specific commands, general commands, and silence, and I want to just give you a really simple illustration concerning this, and I think we can understand that easily enough. Let's take the command that Jesus gave when he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation," Mark 16:15. Go and what to teach are specific. What to teach was the gospel, of course. That was what was to be taught when we go. Now, how we go, how we get there, the Bible is silent about that, and how we go about carrying out that command. You know, we used to say plane, train, or automobile, but there's all kinds of media now that we may be able to use to spread the gospel with. And I won't go into all that, but all I'm saying is that he didn't say exactly how to go. Another example is that we have command or example to assemble. Hebrews 10:25, 1 Corinthians 11:18, and the verses following that, 1 Corinthians 14:26, 1 Corinthians 16:2, and other verses. But we are not told where to assemble. Now in our day, we build buildings as tools for the purpose of assembling and carrying out God's commands and teaching of the gospel, and that's certainly something that we have a right to do. We get together, raise the money, build a building, and buildings can be a great blessing and a great benefit. They can be a hindrance if they're used the wrong way, but mostly they can be a great blessing and a great benefit when we use them the right way to do what God has told us to do. But since the Bible is silent on buildings, I will not be influenced by binders who say we can't build a kitchen in one, or eat a potluck in one, or serve a teenager a dilly bar in one. Of course, we recognize that separate from the assembly, there are specific commands in the assembly, and we're to do those things, but I'm talking about other things that we do as far as the building is concerned. And we don't have to build buildings. We could meet under a shade tree, but when you have a big congregation, that'd be a big shade tree, wouldn't it? It's hard to find, you know. But what I'm saying is we can meet wherever we want to. The main thing is we carry out that which is we are to assemble, and God is silent on those other things, so we work those out. I will not be influenced by loosers, not losers, loosers, who also meet like on Saturday night for communion, which gives them the Lord's Day free, and those who use instrumental music when the Bible is specific about our singing and our worship and our assembly and our communion being served on the Lord's Day. When I became a Christian, I also made a declaration of independence from Satan and his agents. Jesus said he could make me free from sin and its influences, and I took him at his word. In John 8:34, Jesus answered them, saying, those who had, he was talking to there, the Jewish people at that time, said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever, and if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So Jesus can make me free from sin. So I responded to the gospel with faith in Christ Jesus, to the grace that he offered to me. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." God gives the grace, my faith must respond to it. He said, in that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one could boast. We can't work our way to heaven. It's through God's grace that we get there. Now, we are to work once we become Christians because God has a work for us. Goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. What kind of works? God's works, not our own works. And that's what is the difference in the two works he's talking about here. We can't do anything in and of ourselves to earn our salvation or to work our way to heaven, but we are to do God's works for which we were created in Christ Jesus to do those very things. So in repentance, I made the decision to turn from Satan and his influence and to turn to Jesus Christ and his influence for the direction of my life. That's what repentance is all about. Change of mind, which brings about a change of action in a person's life. And I declared independence from man-made doctrines that say baptism is just an outward sign of an inward grace, that it has nothing to do with salvation and all other such theology babble, and simply believed and obeyed what the first converts did. Just as Peter preached in Acts 2:38, after he had preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that what was happening there was a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, and the people believed that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, and he was Lord in Christ, just as Peter had said, they asked what to do. And in Acts 2:38, Peter said to those believers, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 10-year-old or younger can understand that. Almost anybody can understand that. You have to have help to misunderstand it. And there's a lot of help around to try to help people misunderstand it. But if you just take it for what it says, anybody can understand that. God did not make it difficult for us to understand what to do in order to be saved. He made it simple for us to understand. I do not believe I was saved by water, as the agents of Satan accuse those who believe what the Bible says about baptism, but I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ when I obeyed that which Jesus Christ told me to do. 1 Peter 1:18 to 20 says, you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That's what saved me, the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. And the only way I can stay independent of Satan and his agents is through the blood of Jesus Christ and that continued cleansing of that blood in 1 John 1:6-7. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of his Jesus Christ continues, which is, that's really what it means, cleanses us from all sin, continues to cleanse us from all sin as long as we walk in the light in accordance with his will. Now, I'd like to talk for just a minute before I close about concerning a declaration of dependence. So at the same time I made a declaration of independence about all of those things that I've been talking about, I also made a declaration of dependence. I made a declaration of dependence on God through Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I am dependent upon Jesus because, as I've said, I cannot save myself. Titus 3, beginning in verse 4, says, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. The same thing Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It said, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God tells me that Jesus is the only one who can save me. I think probably the central verse in all the Scriptures is found in Acts 4:12, and it says, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name given under heaven which given among men by which we must be saved. So I made a declaration of dependence on God because the saved will be in the church of Christ. That is the church that Christ established. And I don't mean some building that says Church of Christ over the door. But the church that Jesus established. And I can't get in there by myself. I can't get in there without Jesus' help. First, the Bible tells me that Jesus will save the church. And so if I want to be saved, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the church that Jesus established. Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. The church belongs to Jesus. He paid for the church with His own blood. When Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, told about in Acts, the 20th chapter, and in verse 28, he said, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. It belongs to Him. There are over 100 churches probably in Derby and Wichita and the surrounding area here. I could be a part of them if I wanted to, by probably some of them I could just go say, I want to be a member here. I've been baptized and, you know, and a few other things. Some of them I might have to adhere to some man-made rules in order to become a member. But I could be a member of them if I wanted to. But the only way that I can get into the Lord's church is to be added. I am dependent upon Jesus because He is the one who does the adding. And that's the only way I can get in. On Pentecost, those who had obeyed what Peter said to repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit were added to the church. In Acts 2:41, it says, so then those who had received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And it goes on to talk about their lifestyle for a little bit. And down in verse 47, it said the Lord added everyone who obeys the gospel to that church, Acts 2:47. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so I'm dependent upon Jesus Christ, God's Son, because that's the only way I can have salvation and the only way that I can get in to the church that He established. Now, if you are here and you are still under bondage in some way to Satan and to sin, isn't it time that you made a declaration of independence? To free yourself? You don't want to end up where Satan ended up. I can assure you of that. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, it says, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And after that happens, there will be a great judgment. And this white throne it talks about here, and it says, the great and the small were standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And then it talks about Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's where Satan ended up. And that's because that they didn't take advantage of this grace, this sacrifice that Jesus offered to the world. And that's still in the future, I know. But that's what will happen. So why not declare a declaration of independence, but at the same time, a declaration of dependence on Jesus and let Him save you today? And if you still have any question after this lesson, then either talk to me, talk to some of the leadership of this church, and they will tell you exactly what the Scriptures say and how Jesus can save you and make you a part of His church. So if you need our help in any way or you need to obey the Lord, come now while we stand and sing to encourage you.